Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Kevin and Andrew, and we are the Jayhawk Talk Podcast, bringing you some March swagness. It's March, Andrew. The tourney's here. How you feeling?
Kevin, I think the tournament technically starts from the moment we're recording right now.
Really?
Right now, the Mount St. Mary's New Orleans Privateers game is going on. I think they just tipped off. Okay. So technically the tournament has started.
Oh my God. All right.
So to answer your question, I'm feeling good.
Feeling good. Man, it is exciting. The bracket came out Sunday. A lot of people, you know, here's what happens when the bracket comes out for Kansas fans and Kansas Twitter. Everyone goes, oh, we got screwed, right? Like, that's just like the thing, right?
Well, it's every like a time. Knee-jerk. I mean, it's like a reflection. What's the word? A reaction with a reflex.
Right.
That happens, and then, like, your knee kicks out.
That's it.
even if it's like you didn't really need to. There's some of that that can be stated to our path, but I don't know if it's the worst.
It's not that bad.
We'll get into that. There's some bumps in the road, but there's gonna be bumps in the road.
There's gonna be bumps in the road. There's gonna be bumps. We can take these bumps, man. I'm not worried about these bumps. All right, so we will get into the bracket. We're gonna dig into the bracket a bunch. We don't have like a strong outline for this podcast other than we just get really excited about March Madness being here and just try to talk about that. Like, that's mostly what we're going to do.
But we're gonna... if you're a long time listener of the Jayhawk Talk podcast, you will also remember that Kevin's not great with brackets.
I'm terrible
or numbers.
With brackets. Numbers are bad. Like 12 plays a five, right? 12 plays five. If you remember, it added up to 17. I figured
that's
that
right.
out.
Adds up to 17.
Add up to 17. You're I figured that out like you're 2 years ago. Listen, just not my strong suit, all right? What can you do?
Right. So anyway, so give Kevin the benefit of the doubt. Give him some leeway if he doesn't quite understand how brackets work. We'll get him there, even though he's a lifelong Kansas fan. Not quite figured out how brackets work.
I'm better on these brackets. The ones with buys, those are the ones I don't like. The like where do the buy come in and it like shifts down and I could
pigtail games.
Yeah, there you go. Well, Andrew, what do you say we sort of do some initial reactions to the bracket? Now, there's been a game that's been played since we last did this podcast. It was something
doesn't
about
matter.
A TCU game. It's over. Like, I don't even care anymore.
I don't care. It doesn't matter.
I didn't really care then. A lot of people were like, oh, it's over, whatever. Like, that might have been the best thing that could have happened to us. We got the one seed in the Midwest. We did not get ultimately screwed by some path. And, like, it's like it didn't even happen. Like, it does not matter. And we got... rest. And Josh even got an extra day off.
Yeah, let's talk about that. In terms of the draw we got, not necessarily in terms of game by game, but in terms of the number one seed placement, we avoid Villanova until the other side, which would have happened anyway, right? Yeah. Villanova would have been the two or the three. So we're on the side of the bracket that Villanova's not. And so the only thing that really changed in terms of number one, number two, three, four overall is that we play North Carolina instead of Gonzaga, assuming all the ones go up. And I don't know if there's much of a difference there.
I don't think I care. No, I mean, I think North Carolina is really good, but if we make it to the Final Four and play North Carolina, like whatever. Awesome.
Right. But, and I think that in my rankings, we did a little, had my bachelor party this weekend, Kevin, which you missed.
We did
a big gambling thing about what seeds were going to be where. I think I had Gonzaga as the number three overall with North Carolina behind. So in terms of what we got, and then we got the worst number two in Louisville.
I think so.
Worst in the sense of, you know, their seeds 1-8 or their seeds 1-68, they're number eight. And we're kind of flying under the radar.
Who would you rather play? Duke right now, Arizona right now, or Kentucky right now? Or Louisville?
Louisville.
Like, that's an easy answer, right? And I'm not even sure Louisville's going to get there. It's probably going to be Oregon, but whatever. Or Michigan or Oklahoma State. We'll see.
There's
a lot of choices in that bottom half of the Midwest.
In fact, there are eight choices that can go to that.
Hang on. Let me count them. Yep, eight. You're right. Eight choices.
Yeah, come on. Come on, Mr. Brackett.
So there you go. You're right. And I think we got a decent draw there. The thing that really, I mean, the people were concerned about was that 8-9 looks a little scary. You got two named programs. And then the potential to play Purdue, which is a bad matchup for us potentially, or Iowa State in Hilton South, right? And so the people were mad about potentially losing out on Kansas City's home court advantage if Iowa State comes down and tries to buy up all the tickets. Similarly, Purdue is not a great matchup. I guess I don't care. Am I crazy here?
I don't think you're crazy. I think it's not necessarily harder than anywhere else. Like, we don't match up necessarily great with Purdue. We obviously know what Iowa State is. They've got some hard games ahead of them as well. But if you compare it apples to apples, the 4 and the 5 in different spots, you're looking at Florida UVA, you're looking at West Virginia Notre Dame, you're looking at Butler Minnesota. I guess that Butler Minnesota is a little tastier than than ours, but you know, it all kind of evens out. Got whoever's in front of you.
Yeah, and I mean, you're gonna play good teams when you get there. I mean, whatever. We've beat Iowa State. We know what they are. We know exactly what they are. They blew their entire load against us in Allen Fieldhouse, and we still almost beat them. They made like a 45,000 threes. Whatever. Not concerned about them. And Purdue, you know, that's going to be a tough matchup. But let's not try to make Purdue into this like awesome, awesome team. Like, they're a 4 seed for a reason. They may even be overseeded at 4. And they won a Big Ten that's not like they're Big Ten good. Does that make sense? Like, I'm not thinking, maybe I'm wrong here. Feel free to correct me if you disagree, but I guess I'm not that scared of them. I mean, Swanigan's a beast.
Compared to the rest of them, right? Compared to the rest of them, I think it's no different or a little bit better. You know, it's going to be a tough game, but
it's going to be tough. So
how do you want to go forward with this? You want to talk about KU's draw first, you know, kind of game by game? Or how do you want to do this?
Let's do it.
Okay.
I like that.
Okay. So, well, let's talk about North Carolina Central or UC Davis. Okay. we split up the recruiting duties or the scouting duties on this. North Carolina Central, that's you. Okay, what do you know? Okay. You want me to go first? Okay. Talk about UC Davis. Okay.
Yeah.
The worst KenPom rated team in the tournament at 218. Just to give you an idea of how bad UC Davis is, they're about 60 spots behind Missouri.
Oof.
And we all know how Missouri is.
Oof.
Missouri is pretty bad. 60 spots below Missouri. Anyway, UC Davis won the Big West Conference, the formidable Big West Conference.
Of course.
Full of power weights or heavyweights as UC Riverside and UC Santa Barbara and UC Irvine. A lot of those UCs. The only thing we need to watch out for with UC Davis is they've got a guy who can rebound really well.
Okay.
He's a 6'6" guy named Chima Moenki.
Okay.
Let's just go with that. And he just gets a lot of rebounds. He's Australian. He's their best player. Just gets a lot of rebounds. That's the only thing we need to watch out for.
Okay. That's a good rundown. I've got the other team, I believe, is NC Central. Andrew, they're a little better in KenPom. Actually, they're 153, so they're better than Missouri in KenPom, I believe, right?
Whoa.
Yeah. RPI 208. So they're a little bit different there. Everything they do is through one guy, okay? Patrick Cole, remember the name, senior, 6'5", averages 20 a game, 6 assists a game, has actually, and 7 rebounds a game. Listen to that. He averages 27 and 6. That's pretty bonkers. But here's the thing. They're really good on defense, especially guarding the 3-point line. And here's my favorite stat about them, Andrew. They have the best in the country in. Any guesses what it is?
Tempo?
Free throw defense.
Oh.
One of my favorite stats. Free throw defense. Opponents are converting a mere 62% against them.
Wait, so, wait, 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 wait. That's a real stat?
I think so. I'm pretty sure.
Does that matter at all?
Well, no, it's not a thing, but like it is a thing, at least to the point where it's on this piece of paper that I'm looking at. It's Ken Pom defense, free throw defense, number one in the country.
Now, does that have to do with attempts versus makes, or is that like they don't foul?
I don't know. You're the Ken Pom guy. I think it's just percentage. I think it's literally just like the percentage that they make.
You know, if you're going to lead the country in something, might as well be free throw.
Free throw defense. You know, they're third in the country in 3-point defense. So that's a thing. So
okay. that's a real thing.
Yep. 3-point defense and free throw defense. Watch out for North Carolina Central. They rocked through the MEAC, of course, defeating Bethune-Cookman by 35 and Maryland Eastern Shore by 30. So they're no joke in the MEAC, but there you go. Watch out for that free throw defense, North Carolina Central out of Durham.
You know, one thing we need to watch out for, those MEAC teams, Norfolk MEAC. State. Norfolk State came out of the MEAC.
Ooh.
None to beat a pretty good Missouri team.
Pretty good Missouri team. One of the best times in Vegas we've ever had was watching that game.
That was amazing.
One of the best times. Anyway.
What? Which team comes out of that game?
I think NC Central does. I'm taking my guys.
Wednesday afternoon, like Wednesday 5:30, that game tips off. 5:45. You're taking NC Central. I'm gonna take UC Davis.
Straight up.
Put a dollar on.
Straight up.
Yeah, I'll put it. Yeah, whatever.
All right, done.
I should have asked for half a point, but
nope, too late.
I'll take UC Davis.
All right, I got NC Central. There you go.
I'm gonna roll with my boy Chima Moenki.
All right, well, you take Chima, I'll take Patrick Cole, and we'll see who has better stats. Anyway, all right, so there you go. That's round one. We got there. Or I guess they're calling it round two now, but I'm not doing that. It's round one. The round of 64.
Actually, no, they changed it back to first round.
Oh, good. Thank God. That was
they
really
realized
dumb.
The insanity of the first round being the first four, and it is back to the first round.
Excellent.
As of this year.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that because that was real dumb. And everyone got confused by it, too. I mean, let's be honest. So, okay. So then, Andrew, we got two named programs, two very high-profile coaches in Jim Larrañaga and Tom Izzo. Miami and Michigan State. So this was kind of crazy. You saw these two names and everyone's like, oh my God, like Miami, Michigan State. That's crazy. And you look at some of the other 8-9s, like, you know, nothing really jumps out at you. I mean, it's Arkansas, Seton Hall, Northwestern, Vanderbilt, Wisconsin, Va Tech. I mean, if you look at those, maybe we've got the toughest one. Maybe. I mean, Northwestern probably is maybe a little better than some of those, but I didn't know what you kind of thought about the 8-9 draw, since some people seem to be a little concerned about the 8-9 draw.
Well, it's a little shocking at first. You see those teams pop up, and normally you're associating those teams with 1, 2, 3, 4 seeds, especially in the past 5 years or so with Miami. And then obviously Michigan State's always has a high seed. I'd wager this is one of their lower seeds they've had under Izzo at, what are they, a number 9? But, you know, that Michigan State team, they're not great. They're not the team that we're used to seeing come out of Michigan State. A lot of young guys. So with a lot of young guys with talent, you're going to be up and down. You're going to maybe win some games. You're not supposed to lose some games. You're not supposed to. But, you know, they were in danger of not making the tournament.
Right.
Midway through the Big Ten conference season. But they kind of pull through. And then Miami's beaten some good teams.
Yeah, they have.
Beaten Duke this year, beaten Virginia this year, beaten North Carolina this year.
Wow.
And so that's a little, you know, they've got the talent to win games, but also lost games, lost to Syracuse, they lost to Iowa State, you know, and lost to Virginia Tech. I mean, they lose games that they're probably supposed to lose. Lost to Wake Forest, our boy Danny playing tonight.
To Danny. Shout out to Danny.
Yeah, we got to talk about that game.
All right, we'll do that.
But before we get off here. But anyway, that Miami team and Michigan State team, I think Bill Self said it may be better to have some of these higher profile programs in the second round to keep our focus.
Exactly.
If we're playing Stanford, might lose our focus.
I like that. And that's a hot take and a good take, I think. To see some names on jerseys that you recognize, I think is probably a good thing. got that focus. But looking at these 8-9s, I mean, Wisconsin is 23 in KenPom, and they're an 8 seed. The next best 8-9 is Miami at 32, Vandy at 34, Arkansas at 38, Northwestern 39, Michigan State 43. So it's not like we got some insane draw here, at least per KenPom. I think it's in line with, you know, what an 8-9 looks like. And it's just I think it's the name on the jersey and the coaches that make you go, oh, Jesus, you know, this is kind of wild. But let's get through talking a couple about these teams, I guess, for a couple minutes. Do you want to start with Michigan State or Miami? Which one do you want to take?
I'll start with Miami. Okay. I just want to point out Kamari Murphy used to play for Oklahoma State, Now plays for Miami. Plays 30 minutes a game. They're kind of top heavy like us. They have almost four guys who average over 30 minutes. They have their best player, I think, is Davon Reed. He's a senior guard, averages about 15 points a game. Lots going to come through him. He shoots about 40% from three. Guard heavy, pretty good, pretty well balanced defensively and offensively. In KenPom, they are ranked 68th in offense and 20th in defense. So they've got quite the defensive front, as you know, Jim Larrañaga always does. You know, Jim Larrañaga took that George Mason team to the Final Four 11 years ago now.
Yeah.
And really has done some great things with Miami. But we'll see what happens. I predict Miami to come out of that game, even though the Izzone is known for high-profile March games. But also, I think that Miami is going to come out of that round.
I tend to agree with you, and that's after, you know, looking at both teams. Obviously, you know, Michigan State, you got Tom Izzo, you got Miles Bridges, who's legit. But at the same time, as you mentioned, you know, they've lost a lot of games. They've really lost three of their last four games too, to Illinois, Maryland, and Minnesota in the Big Ten tournament. The only one they've won in there was against Penn State. Lost to Purdue by 17 points, if you're curious about that matchup. Lost to Michigan by 29 points. So this isn't a team, this isn't a normal Tom Izzo team, as you mentioned. You know, you kind of hear about what's different about this Tom Izzo team. And he got on the microphone in prep for discussing this, you know, this game against Miami. And he said, honestly, our team, like, usually, you know, my teams are from a toughness standpoint, like Michigan State, you think toughness. He goes, Miami, those guys are tough. We're not tough. You know, those guys actually have a more Tom Izzo team than we do, which I thought that was kind of interesting. So anyway, it will be an interesting game. I do like Miami as well. I think their athleticism is way stronger than Michigan State. The one nice thing for Michigan State is they don't have much of an inside presence. They don't have a huge big guy that they have to defend, which is kind of nice. So it'll be interesting to kind of see what happens there. But I'm not sure they got an answer for Devon Reed and Jaquan Newton at the Hurricanes. But we'll see. It'll be a good game. I think it'll be actually one of the better games in the 8-9 matchups. But I like Miami too.
So that game comes late Friday night after our game. We play at 5:50. Is that right? 5:50 on Friday.
Yes, that sounds right.
Be happy hour in Kansas City. Game will be on. People will be crazy. And then you can maybe get a nice dinner and watch the Michigan State-Miami game.
I like that. So it will be, yeah, so we'll see them on that, I guess it'd be the 19th, right? That'd be the Sunday. Well, that game, not sure what network we'll see. But, Andrew, very excited one way or the other. I think we'll be able to get through this Tulsa little four-team bracket. And then we go on to the Kansas City four-team bracket. Do you want to talk a little bit about the rest of the Midwest little regional there?
Yeah, let's talk about that briefly just so.
And again.
For the sake of completeness.
For the sake of completeness. That's why we're doing this. We're not doing this because KU is going to get through that 100%. We're doing it for the sake of completeness, okay?
In this one, this is played in Milwaukee. You know, it's Iowa State and Purdue. Two teams that played well all season, were in and out of the rankings all year. Everybody knows them. We especially know Iowa State. We know everything about them. Purdue, we know Caleb Swanigan. And that's it. But that's all you really need to know. He's a great player, big guy, beast. He's going to be hard for anybody in the country to guard. We know those teams. But there's two other teams that are going to give those Iowa State and Purdue.
I think you're right.
Game. So Nevada comes in at the 12 against Iowa State's 5. Nevada won the Mountain West tournament. They've got two pro big guys. So you're going to see a really clash of styles with, you know, these guys running through their posts, running through their big guys, relying on rebounds, relying on offensive rebounds, and getting defensive misses. You know, and that's a weakness of Iowa State. You know, we've seen that they're, you know, similar to us this year. So Nevada is going to be a team that's, you know, going to be ready for Iowa State. I think I pick Iowa State to come out of there, but I think that's going to be a tough game.
You know, the nice thing about Nevada is they've got, I think, somewhere around a top 30 offense themselves. So you got to be able to score to keep up with Iowa State. We know that. And they're right around top 30 in KenPom in offensive efficiency. The other thing is they've won 9 games in a row. And they're legit in those 9 games. They won them pretty handily. And then, Andrew, they're top 10 in the country in block percentage. As you mentioned, they've got those big guys. They're not that tall, but they're big. They're able to defend and block shots, and so it would be interesting to see what happens there. There's been some people picking Nevada over Iowa State. Obviously, both teams hot, both teams coming off conference championships. That one will be interesting to watch. I think KenPom has it at 81-74 Iowa State, so about 7 points. Yeah, 7 points, giving Nevada 27% chance to win that game. Who do you got there?
I'm going to go with Iowa State, but I think it's closer than that line indicates. I think if you're a smart bettor, you might go the other way.
Interesting. I like the over. I do know that.
Over's going to be pretty big.
Over's going to be big.
Let's talk about you want to talk about the Catamounts in Vermont?
Let's do it, man. Those guys are awesome.
I don't know much about the Catamounts other than they haven't lost a game since December 21st against Butler. And, you know, had a pretty nice season. They're 29-5. 29-5 coming out of the America East Conference, coming out of Burlington, Vermont. Haven't lost a game. You know, you look through these and see who they've beaten. You don't see a lot of great names here, but they just win games and they win them by a lot. So we'll see, you know, what's going to happen with Vermont. But, you know, a lot of people picking this team, too, against Purdue. Purdue is kind of limping into the postseason, didn't do incredibly well down the stretch and didn't do well in the Big Ten tournament. Is Purdue on the chopping block? Can the Catamounts do it?
I don't think so. It seems like in reading a little bit more about Vermont, it's like they sort of play a similar game to Purdue. Purdue's just like a little better at it. and I don't like that. Usually when you get to contrasting styles is kind of when you like the upset potential. They don't have contrasting styles. So it'll be kind of interesting to see, you know, Vermont has their 2-point percentage offense is their number 13 in the country. So like they get good looks, they slow down the game and get good shots. That's sort of what Purdue does too. And so I don't love the matchup in that world, but at the same time, you know, that it could happen. They certainly are good enough. They've obviously got a lot of a lot of wins under their belt, and it'll be interesting to see. I hope they win.
Yeah, those will be interesting games. I definitely think if you are playing in those games, if you are up in Milwaukee, you're going to see some good games. Let's go to the bottom half of the bracket and just do quick hitters on these.
Okay.
Creighton, Rhode Island, what are your thoughts? This is the 6 and the 11. Creighton the 6, Rhode Island the 11.
I'm pretty sure Rhode Island's favored in this game, which is kind of crazy, 11 over a 6. I'm not sure. I can't remember what it is, but I'm pretty sure Rhode Island's favored. I sort of agree. I don't think Creighton, you know, they kind of turned it on a little bit down the stretch, but I think Rhode Island's got it rolling, man.
KenPom has it a 3-point win to Creighton, but it's going to be close.
Interesting.
I don't know what Las Vegas has.
I vaguely remember Rhode Island being favored. I could be wrong on that, so don't. Maybe I just took Rhode Island and I really want them to win. This is very possible.
This is the big upset that everyone's picking, and because everyone's picking it, I kind of don't want to pick it.
You Rhode Island, you mean?
Yeah. but I think I'm going to pick Rhode Island.
I think I am too. Actually, so I'm pulling it up. Rhode Island is a never mind. It's going to take too long. Whatever. It's going to be close. Close game. I'm taking Rhode Island because they are in a pool of mine. So there you go. Oh, it's a pick'em. There you go. Just got it. It's a pick'em in okay. Vegas. So it's that close. A lot of Rhode Island love out there.
Okay, all right, now so moving on. Number 3, Oregon. 14, Iona.
Yeah, I'm not going to give this a lot of mind. I think Oregon is you know, they lost one of their guys, but at the same time, it's going to be too much. I think they're about a 15-point favorite. I don't know crap about Iona other than I know they've had some success before in this here league, but I don't know for sure.
Okay, moving on. Michigan, Oklahoma State. Michigan is the 7. Michigan survives a
blast.
Michigan survives a plane crash, sort of.
Sort of.
Big Ten tournament. I don't want to judge. I don't want to demean their story. I don't know what happened. But they play a number 10 seed, Oklahoma State. I thought Oklahoma State would be a little higher.
I agree. They kind of got screwed here. Although we didn't, because it's going to be an awesome game to watch. I think this game is just as good or better than the Oklahoma State Iowa State matchup we were excited for in the Big 12 tournament. This is going to be a fun game. Michigan gets up and down. Obviously, Oklahoma State gets up and down. There's going to be a ton of possessions. Oklahoma State's the number 1 KenPom offense. Michigan's the number 5 KenPom offense. It's going to be a lot of fun to see this game. I have no idea who's going to win. I've gone back and forth like 10 times. Michigan, for the record, is a 1-point underdog on KenPom. So Oklahoma State, he's got favored by 1. So on Vegas, Michigan's a 2.5-point favorite. So say what you will about that.
I got Oklahoma State.
I think I've got Michigan, but it's going to be fun. Yeah, they're rolling, man.
Put it on the board?
Yeah, sure.
All right, put it on the board. Oklahoma State, Michigan, put it on the board. Wrong podcast. All right, move on to Louisville versus Jacksonville State. Jacksonville State coming out of Alabama. What do you got?
Louisville. There you go.
Yeah, me too. Okay.
End of story.
So pick a team to come out of that bottom 8, the bottom half of that bracket. Assuming we make it out, we make it to the Elite Eight, who will we be playing in Kansas City?
I got a hot take that whoever wins the Michigan-Oklahoma State game is going to beat Louisville.
Okay, that's pretty hot.
So
Pretty scorching.
Whoever wins that game is going to beat Louisville, and then it will be that team. I don't even care which one. Both of them will beat Louisville. Michigan-Oklahoma State playing either Creighton, Rhode Island, or Oregon. I'm going to say Rhode Island, Oregon. So I think it's going to be Oregon versus Michigan or Oklahoma State. I'm taking the Michigan Oklahoma State team. I think they're going to go. I think that both offenses are humming too hard. I'm not too concerned about Oregon, although Dylan Brooks is a beast. I'm taking Michigan or Oklahoma State, whoever you want. I'm going to take one of those.
To make it all the way?
To make it all the way. That's who we're playing.
I'm going to go with Oregon.
Okay.
But I like where your head's at.
Listen, I like picking
upsets. I'm not a believer in Michigan, but I'm a believer in Oklahoma State.
I think
State has a shot to beat Louisville and maybe to beat, you know, who's ever coming out of that top half of that bottom bracket. So we both like Oklahoma State. We both like Kansas. We both like Rhode Island. These are our hot takes the Midwest side of the bracket. Let's not spend a whole bunch of time on the rest of the bracket. We'll get there if we need to. But give me a couple upsets. What are you looking at here? And I will remind the listeners that several years ago, I believe it was 2014, I told you all to bet Mercer, to pick Mercer over Duke, and I was correct.
You were. That was a pretty impressive call.
Called my shot there. Mercer beat Duke. Felt good. I had to look it up to see what it was because I forgot what game it was. But as well as you know, we're not slouches here at the Jayhawk Talk Podcast. We're giving you good tips. We're gonna help you win that office pool.
Yeah, so there's always a 12-5, right? Let's focus there for a second. And the obvious one is Middle Tennessee over Minnesota. That's the 12-5 in the South.
Everyone's picking that. I'm gonna pick it. Everyone's picking it.
Middle Tennessee like State upset. Is a pick'em in that game, Andrew. A 12-5, a pick'em, which is crazy. For the record, Middle Tennessee State is KenPom number 48, playing KenPom number 33, Minnesota. KenPom's got them as a 67-65 loser to Minnesota, but that's a fun game to watch. I think I'm going to take Minnesota as the game that seemingly no one else is going to pick. I think I might take Minnesota just to be contrarian, which
yeah,
I think
that's Minnesota the might pick. Be. Yeah, Minnesota might be the hotter take.
I know.
Like picking Minnesota. No one's picking Minnesota.
That's what I'm saying. So that's not my upset special, but that's seemingly everyone else's. It's not really an upset because it's a pick 'em in Vegas. Oh, Andrew, what about this one? Your boys in Dunk City are playing Florida State, and it's in Florida. Yeah, it's in Orlando. So you got Florida State and Dunk City on TNT. Interesting game. That not the best matchup for the Dooleys, the Fighting Dooleys. Florida State is very long, very big, very athletic. Run out a bunch of size. And Dooley Bear, those teams, they're not shooting and making a lot of threes. They're kind of similar to self. They try to get good shots at the rim and motion and that type of thing. So probably not the best matchup. But what do you think about 14-3?
Just 14-3. I love it. That's going to be a crazy game. I don't think the Golden Eagles can pull it off down there in the Florida Gulf Coast. But no matter what game is on, I'm going to be watching that one.
They're a 12-point dog on KenPom. I think I sort of kind of like them plus 12.
You know, they almost beat Michigan State this year.
Yeah.
Had a couple close wins. Didn't get anything crazy. But
they played Baylor to a 9-point game.
They've been on the edge, and that game was close. I mean, that was ended up being a 9-point game, but it was close. They've been on the edge of getting a big win.
Maybe not going to win, but might cover. I like that. That'd be a blast though if they did beat Florida State. Florida State's they've kind of underachieved.
Well, they're very athletic. They have a couple professionals on that team.
They got like two or four, five, 7-footers.
That means a lot in March. Here's a side question. If Dooley wins a game, beats Florida State in this tournament, man, makes it the second round, does he go somewhere else? Does he get a better job?
He probably could anyway. But yeah, I mean, that would solidify it.
Like what kind of level? Are we talking he takes over Dayton? Or are we talking he takes over Missouri?
I think it'd be more of a Dayton move. So he, you know, Dayton's coach goes off and takes whatever,
Illinois.
Yeah. Which could happen. Archie. So Archie goes off and takes a different job. That Dayton job, they'll be looking for somebody. I think, yeah, Dooley Bear could do all right there. He wants, you know, he's kind of an East Coast guy. So you'd maybe want to pencil him in one of those schools on closer to the East Coast that might open up. He might be a candidate for, but we'll see. We'll see. Hoping the best for the Dooley Bears. All right. Any other upset specials, Andrew? There's got to be a couple other good ones here.
Well, something to look for. Let me just Princeton over Notre Dame. Okay. Princeton was a hot betting team at this bachelor party this weekend. The Ivy League tournament seemed to be always on wherever we were. So there was constant action on the Princeton Tigers. Constant action. Got to know the Princeton Tigers quite a bit. They shoot a lot of threes. That's all I know. They shoot a lot of threes. They don't play the Princeton offense, even though they're Princeton. They play high up tempo. They take the 15th most threes or something like that in Division I. So that's another one to look at. I also like Xavier over Maryland.
Do you really? I don't.
I do. I like Xavier over Maryland. It's one of those teams where, well, they're both kind of fledgling, and then, you know, Xavier barely makes the tournament, but I think that they've got a run in them. They're a talented team. They've got a guy injured, but they're going to come together, going to regroup. I'm picking that Xavier over Maryland game in my bracket. I'm just going to.
Here's a hot take. A 13 will beat a 4 this year.
What's the most likely?
You know one that's sort of flying under the radar is Winthrop over Butler.
Yeah, I don't like that one at all.
You don't?
No.
I do. I think that one's an interesting game. Butler's lost their last two games. Not been playing that well. They've lost to some bad teams. They lost to Georgetown, lost to St. John's, lost to Indiana State. I mean, they've blown some bad games. Now, they've beat some good teams. They beat Villanova twice, but they and Xavier, but they, you know, they've been able to lose to some bad teams. I kind of like Winthrop there. And another crazy one that's not that crazy, Bucknell over West Virginia.
Ooh, Bucknell. West Virginia's got to get a win. They were, you know, stunned last year by Stephen F. Austin. I think they're going to get at least one and maybe a couple in this tournament. You know, looking at the three and four teams, we have Baylor, New Mexico State, and Oregon, Iona. Any thought to those? Could that 14-3 happen in either of those?
I don't love those. I think Oregon and Baylor win those two games. But the two that I'm staring at are in that bottom half of that bracket. Watch out for Winthrop and watch out for the Killer Bee Bucknell.
All right, you're calling your shot on that one. You seem pretty confident.
No, I'm just saying, like, if there's gonna be one, I think it's gonna be one of those two, and I sort of feel it might happen. So we'll see.
Okay, let me bring up one other one. Virginia versus UNC Wilmington seems to be a hot pick. I like Virginia a lot in that one. If that gets bet down because people are thinking Wilmington's as a good underdog here, I'll take Virginia all day.
I like how this has just turned into a betting podcast.
Yeah. Like, well, we're helping you pick your bracket.
We need to call Jimmy the Bravosi and make sure that
Jimmy the Bravosi.
This is turned into a betting podcast, which is fine. I mean, you're right. It's a bracket podcast, but with some Vegas undertones. I think both of us sort of miss that we're not going to be in Vegas for the first round of the tournament for the first time in, what, 8 years now?
Something like that. We started going in 2009.
Is that right? I thought it was 2008. Maybe it's 2009. Anyway, whatever. So long time, one way or the other. Me, kid, you just had a bachelor party. Probably not good excuses, but here we are. So I'll be watching the first round from the comfort of my own home with bitch on Miles Meckley, B-I-M-M, and we'll be hanging here. So there you go. Andrew, what else do we want to cover here?
I want to talk about K-State Wake Forest coming on tonight. So you may listen to this tonight. This is Tuesday night, or you may listen to it tomorrow. So anything you hear about K-State and Wake Forest – will be null and void, but we're going to talk about it anyway, because when this game popped up on Selection Sunday, I was excited. Like, get your popcorn ready. Danny versus Bruce. This is a Kansas connection. This will be, it may be more interesting to KU fans than anyone else not named Wake Forest or K-State.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. You kind of like Wake. I kind of like K-State. Is this another put it on the board?
Yeah, I'll take Wake.
I here's the one thing that I got going for me that you got going for you. You know, Danny done called Bill himself in this past week once he saw that and said, Bill, hey, listen, you know, I know you got a lot on your plate. Give me everything you got on K-State. And you know, he went through that and scouted for him and gave him everything he needs to know about K-State. That is one nice thing that Danny's got working for him. He's got Bill in his corner telling him how to go beat K-State.
Also going for Wake Forest is a guy named John Collins, most exciting name in sports. Not really.
No.
But he'll be an NBA player. He'll be a top 15 pick. Everything goes through him. He's one of those guys that we used to get when Danny was around, where he's a, you know, three-star recruit that turns into a lottery pick because of Danny Manning. Danny. And that's what he did with John Collins as a sophomore, 6'10", 235. That's a Danny guy. That's Danny a Danny guy that he turned into a Danny guy. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. I'll take John Collins, Danny Manning, and the Wake Forest Demon Deacons over the Bruce Weber Wildcats. It seems like no K-State fan is excited about this. They all just hate Bruce Weber. I've seen nothing, no excitement about this from K-State fans.
Listen, I don't feel good about it, but just for the sake of taking the other side, I will take K-State and cheer for K-State. only for our bet, but really, if I lose my bet, I'll be much more happy because that means Danny made it through.
So. Well, and I will tell you, other than Missouri, Missouri going back, I root for Big 12 teams in the tournament. I just think that
I generally do too.
I just think that Wake Forest is going to win, but we got to root for Danny. That's different.
Got to root, for Danny. Got to root for Danny. All right. There you go. All right, Andrew, anything else before we get out of here? I know kind of a quick podcast, but we wanted to get something out there for the people because the brackets, man, it's here. I know you've been out of town. I've had baby duty, but we wanted to make sure we got something to the people for the bracket since it's apparently starting right now. I mean, do we have an update?
No, it's on. It's on TV.
Who's winning?
I will tell you who is winning in one moment.
Either way, while you're doing that, if you want to follow us on Twitter, give us some of your hot takes on the bracket. Shoot us a note at Jayhawk Talk at Sherlock Hoops. We're going to be very active on the Twitter during the tournament because we're both not going to be in Vegas. So we're going to actually sit down and watch games and it's going to be a blast. I work from home, which makes March Madness real nice. I don't have to worry about the boss over the shoulder. Yeah. So I got the TV over the shoulder here. Going to enjoy that. I'm sure everyone else will be too, one way or the other, not working, especially this week. This is too much fun, man. Thursday and Friday, there's no better time for a college basketball fan than the first two rounds. Did you figure out the score yet?
30-21, Mount St. Mary's is beating New Orleans on True TV.
Nice. Nice. There you go. All right. Well, Andrew, I guess what we'll probably end up doing is doing another podcast, probably Sunday night or potentially Monday. We'll see what happens. Going to obviously watch these games, see what happens. Hopefully we got two wins for Kansas, winning the little Tulsa pod and heading back to the lovely confines of Kansas City, likely to face the winner of Nevada and Vermont, or at least I hope. So we'll see. But until then, Andrew, you got anything else before we get out of here?
Just watch out for those Bill Self coaching tree. Tim Jankovic. Yeah. I think SMU is going to go far. I think Danny's going to win at least one game. And then Dooley,
watch out for Dooley.
When you're not rooting for KU, root for those guys because they've all got fun teams.
You're right, they do. And yeah, SMU is kind of a sneaky pick down there to beat Baylor. In the round of 32, which honestly, that could happen. SMU's good. SMU's really good. So I've even seen some people picking SMU to beat Duke and get to the freaking Final Four. So I like that. But we will see. But until then, enjoy your brackets. Hopefully you have all the wonderful bracket picks. You don't get any work done this week. You watch basketball like it's your only job because that's what we're going to do. It's going to be awesome. We will talk to you Sunday. Until then, rock chalk. I tried to tell him every time we on the court. I tried to tell him that we never coming up short. I tried to tell him that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell him that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the fans. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. All them years.
cheers that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering, all them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering, nine times get the cheering with them banners held high, and the crowd going wild, night before the final four, you can't even sleep now, yeah we at the peak now, we can't even leap down, March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan.
I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces.
It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
it's
baby.
It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,